money will go to the oblation fund. Please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us, and please be with everyone today as they come and worship with you. And please bless this money so that it will go to our building and where we will serve you for hopefully the rest of our lives. And please help this money to build up your kingdom. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Everybody in this beautiful June the 3rd. Very happy that we could all be here to be able to share. And I know that that there was a beautiful spirit that accompanied the hour before, and just pray that the good spirit that was here would be a continuous spirit that would be able to continue to open our hearts and minds during this hour that we're able to share together in this special occasion. I want to introduce the priesthood that are with me today, for we know that there are some who do listen to the online recordings, and we know that the Lord could provide His Spirit to be with them if they're able to review this later. But we know that we want to introduce the priesthood. We've got on my left, we've got Priest Shai Bates. He's going to be serving for us, and he's also going to be bringing us the invocation. We also have with us, we have Elder Alan Onings, who's going to be serving today. We got Elder Vernon Pearson, who's going to be serving, and he's going to be doing our closing prayer for us today. We've got Elder Fred Stewart and Elder Vance Killinger. They're going to be preparing the emblems and giving the prayer and blessing over the bread and the wine and serving today. We have on my right, we have Elder Clarence Hernings, and he's going to be giving us the message of the hour this morning. And then my name is Elder Paul Williams. Just thankful that we could be here to share and know that this is a special occasion. Anytime we get a chance to come before the table, it's a very humbling experience. For my call to worship, and even for my preparatory remarks, which I'll be giving in a few minutes, I'm going to be reading from the scriptures. But for the purposes of the call to worship, I'm going to read from Mark, for those that would like to follow along. I'm going to be reading from the book of Mark, and we're going to start with chapter 14. And I'm going to be reading from verses 20 through 40, or I'm sorry, 20 through 24. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, take it and eat. Behold, this is for you to do in remembrance of my body. For as oft as you do this, you will remember this hour that I was with you." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is in remembrance of my blood, which is shed for many, and the New Testament which I give unto you. For of me ye shall bear record unto all the world." And as oft as ye do this ordinance, you will remember me in this hour that I was with you and drank with you of this cup, even the last time of my ministry. It is my prayer that as we take time today to focus on the Lord and participate in the opportunity of being able to remember and to share in the bread and wine, that we will have a desire to continue to love the Lord and have a desire to examine ourselves for the opportunities that lie ahead. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 32, In the Garden. We'll stand for this hymn, and then we'll have our invocation by Brother Josiah. 32.
Wonderful day that you've given to us, Lord, and for the many blessings that are present in our lives. I praise you and thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together today and worship and praise your name, Lord. I especially thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together and partake of your communion. We might remember the blood in your body that died on the cross, Lord. We might be free of our sins. Pray now, Lord, that you forgive us of our sins, that we might be your humble servants before you, that we might do your work in this world, and that we might strive to seek first to build up your kingdom. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would come in power during this service, Lord, that you might bless my brother Clarence and all my brothers up here. you might be with Clarence as he brings a message to your people, Lord. That you'd fill his heart and his mind. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, that we might be strengthened and enlightened. And I pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For preparatory remarks, I'm going to be reading from the scriptures. For those that would like to follow along, I'm going to be reading from the 6th chapter of John. We're going to start at verse 32. Sometimes I feel it's more adequate to have the scriptures do the speaking. And in this case, I believe that if we read the words that the Lord, through His Spirit, could provide the increase of understanding from the written word. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the resurrection of the just, and at the last day. And then go down to verse 48. I am the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I gave for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him in the resurrection of the just at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And then just another quick scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The cup of blessing, and I'm going to be reading from verse 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And it's in the spirit of that that is my prayer, that as we have come together, for we know that we have come together as a body to participate in that broken body, and this is an opportunity for us to be all partakers of this bread, of this wine, of his flesh, and of his blood. And we are all equal. The Lord is no respecter of persons. And we are all equal, as we are all equal partakers of this great heavenly gift. And even though we have a tendency, we get an opportunity to do it once a month, we can do it any time that we are led to be able to share in this remembrance of this great sacrifice. For the Lord gave himself for the world. Here is our opportunity to be able to respond, to participate, to be able to recognize this great gift that we have. And it's my prayer that we would all together come together united as one body, as we partake of this one bread. We're going to have a hymn, 277. We can remain seated for this hymn, and then we will be preparing ourselves for the emblems.
Thank you.
is important for us as a community of believers that want to participate as a body in this one bread. But we are closed communionist, which means that we require, according to the doctrine of the gospel, that members that have been baptized by one with authority are the ones that are to participate in this sacrament of the bread and the wine. And we would encourage all of you to choose to want to join us in taking a covenant to be with the Father in baptism. And let us know if there's something that we can do to participate in having you join us and to have the glorious angels in heaven rejoice on that day that you take that sacrament of covenant to be with the Lord. As we prepare for the blessing of the bread by Elder Van Kellinger, let us say a silent prayer in preparation for the blessing. Elder Vance Kellinger will provide us with the blessing of the bread. As much as is possible, let us kneel.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread for the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son, and always remember Him and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may have his, always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Once again, in the beauty of the Spirit that's with us, let's take a moment of silent prayer as we prepare for the blessing of the wine. Blessing of the wine will be done by Elder Fred Stewart. As much as is possible, let us kneel.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine and the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them. That they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
Somebody's real tall and somebody's real short. As you reached forth this morning and partook of his broken body and spilt blood, it was in a adamant faith in him. You have not seen Jesus. You've heard about him. He changed, says, "I am unchangeable. I'm the same today, tomorrow, and ever." So the gift that we have that I want to experiment on this morning is faith. You know, I think we have that gift that we haven't cultivated very well. I think it's kind of on rocky soil yet. And I have a couple of scriptures that Moroni says it better than I can say it about what we did here this morning. And Moroni says, "And the church did meet together often to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together often to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what we did today. That we exercised that faith. We remembered him. I'm going to read a few scriptures, probably like Paul did this morning, and maybe setting a little bit of our thought that what we did this morning. If we go again to Moroni, the 10th chapter, the 29th through the 30th verse, it says, and I think it says it to us today, when I point out there, there's three fingers pointing back at me. "Yea, come into Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourself of all unrighteousness. And if you shall deny yourself of all unrighteousness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfected, perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if you by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot." We know God cannot look upon sin in the least degree. And what did he do? He sent his Son into the world to take upon us, take upon him our sins. My throat, as you get older, you know, your throat gives out on you. That's the first sign of old age, I think. Mine kind of gets worse. I don't know. Bonnie says it's allergies and some, maybe something else. But another scripture I want to read in Moroni 8:29. I'll get in the right chapter here pretty soon. It says, "The first fruits of repentance is baptism, and baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments and the fulfilling," I'll get it, "unto the fulfilling the commandments, and the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sin, and the remission of sin bringeth meekness and lowly of heart, And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforteth, filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer, and to the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. Again, I mentioned we are ministered no time. The scripture says we'll ever see God's face. He ministered to the Gentiles through the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying here. You're visited by the Holy Spirit. I wanted to talk a little bit about faith. And like I told Paul, I've been struggling with this because there is so much in the scriptures, the Bible and the Book of Mormon on faith. And we haven't, as a people, scratched the surface yet. And I'm going to start with Hebrews. And if you could, I could give you a few books if you'd read Ether, and if you'd read Hebrews, and if you'd read the testimonies in the Old Testament, Josiah, Gilead, you could go on and name them, and you could see what they relied on in faith. But I'm going to read this scripture in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. From this we learn that faith is the endurance which men have of the existence of things which they have not seen, and the principal action in all intelligence in the beginning is faith. How do we please God? How do we please God? By faith in Him, in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then what are we supposed to do? Keep His covenant, keep His commandments, sanctify our lives. I put a little note here. This come to me one day, and I was just walking around. If we show our faith in God, He will show His power. If we exercise faith, and we can find this in the Old and New Testament, the Book of Mormon, about faith and His power, if we will exercise that faith. In Ether, this guy shows us where Jesus Christ is in this whole picture of faith with God. Ether 1:72, I'll start. And we know the story of Ether having the 16 stones to make, put light into his barges, and he took, went up to them, carved them out of the mountain, and took up, and he prayed unto God for a blessing on those stones. And the Lord, said unto the brother of Jared, because of thy faith, thou hast seen that I have taken upon me flesh and blood. That's Jesus Christ. As thou hast, for there, if not, were it not so, you could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? God was asked, do you see more than this? Then we start, go down to 77. Behold, I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. Let's go a little farther. In me shall all men have faith, have life, and that eternal life, even they who shall believe on my name, they shall become my sons and my daughters. Never have I shown myself unto men whom I have created, for never has man believed in me as thou hast. See thou that ye are created after my own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after my own image. Image of Jesus Christ. Here's the meat to the whole story. Behold, this body which you have, which you now behold, is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. Even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. So he's telling us that the spiritual body and the physical body, there's no difference in their appearance. And he will appear in a physical body, but it'd be also a spiritual body. And that's, when we talk about God and Christ as one, we try to put everything in a box for our understanding. And I think it's a little bit different. So faith is then the first great governing principle and dominion and authority over all things. When faith is a principle, the faith then is a principle of power. Think of the prophets of old. Think of the miracles that have the power of faith. All of us probably remember the story of Ammon and Amulek when they were thrown into prison for what they were teaching. And this is in Alma 10:76 through 81. If you want to, but I'm on a bit of time, I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. They were cast into prison. They were spit upon. They were beaten. They were, they were stripped naked. And they prayed unto God, "How long shall we suffer, Lord?" Through faith. What happened? Those the teachers and high priests and judges that were questioning them and beating on them, the prison began to shake. Fear became upon them. And they started to run, but they fell down. And the prison fell, collapsed. And every one of them was killed except Alma and Amulek. And they walked out of the prison unharmed. Those that have faith have that power. And we have that same opportunities to have that same power if we use it in wisdom. How much did they suffer before they said, "Lord, how long will we suffer?" Hebrews again, 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." How do we please God? Do we have our faith, or do we put it over here in the temporal thing and say, "Lord, I can do it myself"? Or do we come over here and say, "Lord, you can do it, and I'll wait upon you"? That's our problem as a society. We look upon the arm of flesh that can do it, still the arm of the Spirit of the Lord to do it. And there's another one that in the Old Testament, there was Joshua. We know that he marched around Jericho 7 times against the army that was much greater than them. And in the 7th time, he told his troops what to do. And they blew the trumpets, they beat the cymbals and noise, and the enemy, the walls fell down. The enemies killed themselves, and they went in and captured the city. Another one in a testimony of faith. If we had the faith of Joshua. Joshua's in a battle. Remember, they was taking over the land of Canaan. They was promised to the Israelites. And they had to drive out the enemy. And they was in a battle. And they wanted the sun to stand still and the moon to not move, so they could win the battle. And so Joshua prayed to God, and the sun stood still, and the moon did not move. And you know, we think, well, how can that be? The universe is timed by God. He created all. It's a very unique mechanism. But you know, here a few years ago, the space program, and Bob is a pilot, he might know some space program, they were having trouble with some of their calculations, and they begin to, some of the scientists begin to think, and they read Joshua 10, I think it's 10:13, and this was the calculation that was missing in their program. When they, NASA and them set their program with this one day that had stood still, their calculations come out right. That's another testimony of the faith of God and His unchangeability, and it's proven even in our day that this was given several thousand years ago. What happened, it's been proven today. What do we have about Moses and his faith? He passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. And we know what happened to the Egyptians when they thought, well, hey, they did it, we can do it. Well, we know that they drowned. And so, again, what I'm really trying to point out to each and every one of us, let's experiment on our faith. Let's just don't waver here with our hand in the temporal things and our hand over here. And when it's convenient, we'll have faith in God. But most of the time, I'll stay over here where I feel secure with my own mind up here. And so, you know, in Luke, in the 17th chapter, the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith. And what did Jesus said? If you had faith as a mustard seed, most people know what a mustard seed is. It's about the size of a point of a pen. It's very, very small. So he said, if you just have that, you could move mountains. You could tell the trees to move. Not because you want glory, but bring glory to God. And then in Matthew, the 17th chapter, it talks about unbelief. I mean, I know I'm keeping you over time, and lunch is probably burning, the roast is in the oven, and but I fasted today, and I think the first scripture I read was about prayer and fast, and that's nothing that is unique, but it's something that is necessary sometimes in our life. I'll just read a little bit here in Matthew 17 chapter. I'll start with the 15th verse. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a man kneeling down to Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sorely vexed. For after time he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. He brought him to the disciples, servants of Jesus. And they could not cure him. And Jesus said, answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith even as a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Disciples of Christ, nothing is impossible to you if you have faith, even to that size of that tiny mustard seed. Sounds like we don't have very much faith. It says, has miracles ceased? If they have ceased, it's because of unbelief. We need to have unshaken faith. Unshaken faith. You know, I looked at two dictionaries and I could not find unshaken. I'm not a smart man, but I went through two Websters, an old one and a new one. But and I kind of say, you can shake down a bushel of apples and get more in it, or shake down some grain or whatever, and jerk it up and down and shake. But unshaken means you don't do that with faith. It's stable. It's immovable. And we try to shake it and move it and jerk it. And I just, and that scripture's in 2 Nephi, I think 13th chapter, talks about enduring to the end, unshaken faith in Christ. And if you go to Jacob, Jacob kind of gives you the answer to the whole thing. And I'm not going to keep you a whole lot longer. That's in Jacob's 3:7. Therefore, you search the prophets, and we have many revelations in the spirit of prophecy, and have all things, and have all these witnesses. We obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus Christ that the very trees obey us, yea, be us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. He's telling you what we can do with unshaken faith. And I would just ask each one of us, men, women, children have a lot of faith, that we would experiment on faith. You know, the early church in the 1800s had miracles performed. And we used to have prophecies, and we used to have the gift of tongues and many things that came, and they kind of dwindled out because we got smarter. We got more education. Well, I don't have it. I'm one of them guys that missed out on the boat, I guess. It was going by and I didn't grab a hold. But anyway, I would just encourage each one of us that we would exercise that faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ came in the form of man, being born of a virgin. And my good sister Hughes back there was saying at a prayer meeting the other day that the people that went to seminars, the educated people, when they go in there, they believe in virgin birth. Over 90% of them, or whatever it was, Wawina said, when they come out of the seminar, they don't believe in the virgin birth. Jesus was born from a virgin. He took upon himself flesh and blood. He had all the temptations you and I had. He never had a pillar to lay his head on. He never owned anything. But God used him. He was God in the flesh. He took upon him our sins. He died on the cross to give you eternal life and me eternal life. He set the pattern. When he done something, who'd he pray to? His Father. That he would have faith to be able to come. He moaned with himself when he brought Lazarus forth. We don't know about groaning within ourselves. I don't understand that altogether. And he then said, Lazarus, come forth. And he come forth. It was through the power of faith in creation, in God. We're going to have to rely on it, brothers and sisters, in the future. When we have just clothes on our back, maybe, to sustain it. We might look unto Him as the one that will sustain us, will feed us manna, whatever is necessary in our life. But I would ask each and every one never to deny Him. Endure to the end. Keep His commandments. Sanctify your body to the best of your ability. And He will bless you. And He will help you. And He will comfort you. God bless you. Testimony that is earth-shaking and unshaken faith that we have. We know that you are our Creator, our Savior, our salvation, and the Creator of our life. So give us this understanding within the depths of our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah.